Thanks for downloading the Wave Church podcast. We hope this message inspires and brings you into a deeper relationship with God. Enjoy the message.
We're going to pray. I'm so excited to be preaching tonight on Easter Sunday. I've already had my fair share of chocolate today. How many people you've had too much chocolate already today? Tell the truth, shame the devil. If you're not raising your hand, you're not doing Easter correctly. Because it is your one free pass just to go to town on a chocolate Easter bunny and some Reese's eggs. Amen. But let's pray and then we're going to get into this. So if you're comfortable, you can lift your hands, put them out wide, whatever you want to do. Jesus, we thank you for tonight. God, I thank you that you are already in this place. God, that you gave me a word for tonight to speak directly to us. God, I pray you would show us a part of yourself that we have not seen before. God, that you would move in this place. God, I speak miracles and healing. And God, above all else, I pray that people would meet you for the first time or come back home to you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Well, you can take your seats. And as you take your seat, turn to your neighbor and say, take it back. Take it back. Tonight, I'm going to share for a few moments on the idea, take it back. And I love subtitles. I'm not sure why, but my subtitle tonight is Take Backsies. Take Backsies. And it is that because I'm a dad. And as a dad, there are kind of three things that you have to accept and embrace. The first thing is you have to accept being cringy and having dad jokes. The second thing as a dad is you have to love your lawn with all your heart, mind, and soul. And the third thing is you have to talk about your kids or use kid language as much as possible. But I'm not going to be one of those dads that makes you look at photos of my sons or my family. Come on, guys. Now that it's up there, that is my family. That is my son, Levi Nash, and my new baby boy, 8 weeks old, Jude Monroe Llewellyn. They get all of their handsome, wonderful, great looks from their mom, and I just wrestle with them. But that's my family. I love my little guys, and that's where Take Backsies came from, because when you have kids, you just start saying things that you never thought you were going to say. Am I right, Reed? It's real life. It's real life. But I'm going to be sharing out of two verses, and we're going to kind of use those as a springboard for this conversation tonight. But the first one is in Revelation, so you know it's real. Chapter 1, 17 through 18. And it says this: When I saw him, I fell at his feet as if I were dead, talking about Jesus. But he laid his right hand on me and said, Don't be afraid. I am the first, the last. I am the living one. I died, but look, I am alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys of death and the grave. Second verse, we're going to go back to back, so if you didn't read your verse of the day, I got you, because I care about you. Hebrews 10, 11 through 14. It says, Under the old covenant, the priest stands and ministers before the altar day after day, offering the same sacrifices again and again, which can never take sins away. Which, pause, I am so glad that we don't have to do those sacrifices day after day. I would be the worst at that. Like just animals and killing them every day if you don't understand those sacrifices. Not my jam. Poor little squirrels or whatever they gotta be. It's not squirrels. Could have been. Verse 12, it says, But our high priest offered himself to God as a single sacrifice for sins, good for all time. Then he sat down in the place of honor at God's right hand. There he waits until his enemies are humbled and made a footstool under his feet. For by that one offering, he forever made perfect those who were being made holy. What that means, those who are being made holy, means those who are in pursuit of Jesus. It doesn't mean you're perfect or have it all together. It means you are pursuing Jesus. So if you are pursuing Jesus through this sacrifice, we are made perfect. And today is Easter, if you haven't figured that out yet. But it's a day where we celebrate the rising of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. More so than other days, obviously, the perfect sacrifice that was made that supersedes every other sacrifice. In the Old Covenant, the Old Testament, they would have to go to the same altar day after day and do the same thing over and over and over again, only to get the same result, never growing closer to Jesus, never going closer to God. But then Jesus came and made one sacrifice to make you perfect with him, one sacrifice so you could walk in unison with him. There was no longer a gap. There was no longer division. There was no longer something between you and God. You could walk in unison. And then it goes on to say in Revelation that now Jesus holds the keys. And if you'll allow me tonight, I love when preachers say that. Like, what are you going to do? You know what I'm saying? Like, if you'll allow me to say this tonight, like, you don't have an option. You're here. I'm here. I got the microphone. This is where we're going. You ran out of skips, you know? But I would like to have a conversation on what these verses mean to us and how it's not just good things to say and good things to sing about or cliches, but how it should impact our every single day life. How Revelation 1 and Hebrews 10 and this idea that Jesus took the keys to hell should change your everyday life. Because we read this verse, and then if we read further, we find in Romans that it says that the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in us. Meaning that when Jesus died, he didn't just die for us. He didn't just take our sins. He didn't just take our flaws. He didn't just take what we have done wrong, but he actually imparted something inside of us. He imparted his Spirit in you. So the same keys that he has to death and the grave, the same keys he has, we now have the ability to possess. The cross not only dealt with our right standing with God, but the cross also equipped us with what we need to walk through life. And tonight, kind of what I want to talk about off that basis, we know the Easter story. What I want to talk about is what limits that power in our life. If we know that Revelation 1 says that Jesus holds the keys, if we know that Hebrews said that the perfect sacrifice was made, if we know that Romans 8 says that we have that Spirit, then why do we not see the working of that Spirit in our lives more often? Why are we not seeing more miracles? Why are we not seeing more healings? Why are we not seeing more joy and fruit in our life if this is the reality of what we are walking in? Because it's not like there was an asterisk next to these verses where it's like, you are made perfect if. You get his Spirit if. No, the cross is final. What he did is final. We have access to that, but why do we not see it? If I can be honest, tonight, I have a bit of an obsessive personality. Does anybody have a personality like that? Three of us, praise God. Everyone else just so well-tempered. Good for you. You don't spend your money on anything, huh? Well, I do not have that. Like, I'm the type of guy where when I find a song I like, I'm gonna burn that thing to the ground. Like, that song is on repeat until I can no longer listen to it. It doesn't matter morning, night, happy mood, sad mood. Like, I'll be in a great mood, happy, listening to Justin Bieber, Lonely. Because it's just, I just love, yeah, no, it's not that great song. It was a weird one. But I had that type of personality. And about 9 months ago, I had this idea that I was going to do a triathlon. Yep. I like fitness challenges. I was like, you know what? That sounds hard. I'm gonna do it. So when I decide I'm gonna do something, obviously, obsession. So I started watching YouTube videos. I started reading blogs. I started seeing all the things you needed. I Googled like top 10 essential things I need to do to be a beginner triathlete. And I started buying all of it. I bought a triathlon bike. I bought the clip-in shoes. I bought the shorts with the pad in it so it, like, you can ride longer. I bought the helmet. I bought the swim cap and the goggles and the jammer shorts because they're way cooler than the regular Speedos. I bought the running shoes and the running shorts and all the stuff that I needed, and I was stoked. I started running. I started biking. I had this setup in my house where I could bike indoors and watch myself bike like I'm biking outdoors. Like, I've been biking through London, Egypt, you name it, baby. I'm a world traveler. But I was so excited about it. So I kept riding. I was doing 20 miles, and I would get off the bike, and I would run. I'm not, like, saying this like humble brag, because you'll see in a second. But after a while, I just kind of got tired of it, honestly. Like, it was hard, right? Like, I was sore. I had to wake up. It got cold out. Running the cold is not cool. I had a kid. That's hard. Understatement of the year. And I just got comfortable with it. I was like, I lost my excitement. I didn't want to do it anymore. I didn't have the same passion in my heart to wake up and to train and to do all these things. Now, I still plan to do one, maybe. I got the stuff. But has that ever happened to you? Where you got like really into something, maybe you got a new car and you're like hype on that new car and you bring that car home, you're like, man, this thing's gonna be clean forever. Every 3,000 miles, oil. Fuel gauge, never below half. Food in my car, nope. You got the smelly friend, not in that car. But then after a while, it just becomes that car. Yeah, hop in the car. You got Wendy's, whatever, throw the bag in the back. Don't even care anymore. You start to like get the bottle, like the water bottle mountain in your back seat. Anybody else? Done with the water bottle? Yonk. See you later. Maybe it was a job. You were all excited about your job. At first, you were showing up early. You were doing extra work. A couple months go by, you're like, ugh, I gotta go to that job again, man. You get that new boo thing, right? You're all excited. You're like, boundaries, Jesus first, forever. A couple months go by, you're like, man, psh. You know what I'm saying? What's a little bit of Netflix and chill? I won't go too far into that. I'll get a little distracted. But it's amazing how time, circumstance, life, and we can begin to take for granted that which we once valued. And what I want to talk to you about tonight is what I believe can limit the power of God in our lives more than anything else is when we begin to take for granted what we have access to in the cross of Jesus Christ. And I want to title it the Just That Effect. When we take for granted what we have. When we take for granted the miracle of Easter that we celebrate today. This power and this relationship that was given to us, not based on anything we did. No matter how jacked up, how many sins, whatever we've done, we still have access to the same power. And if we aren't careful, this power can become normal to us. Oh, it's just that power. It's just that ability to tap into all that God has for me. It's just that. And we even see this happen to Jesus. When he was in the flesh on earth, people treated him with this same attitude. There's that word. Got it. Matthew 13, 53 through 58, Jesus in his hometown, it says this. He was teaching people in the synagogue and they were amazed. Say, wow. Sheesh. Relevance. 32, dude. Still got it. I'm sorry. Yes. Where did this man get this wisdom and these miraculous powers, they asked. Isn't this the carpenter's son? Isn't his mother's name Mary? And aren't his brothers James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas? Aren't all of his sisters with us? Where then did this man get all of these things? And they took offense at him. Being easily offended, nothing new. But Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his own town and in his own home. And he did not do many miracles there. Because of their lack of faith. You see, Jesus was in his hometown and the people treated him with the just that effect. Oh, it's just that carpenter's son. It's just Mary's boy. It's just that guy's brother. It's just that girl's brother. And he was limited in what he was able to do because the perspective they had on who he was and who they thought he was. And it stopped them from being able to know him. You have to get this because it's a little bit of play on words. It stopped them from being able to know him because they thought they knew him. because you can know something and not know something. Like, I know LeBron James, right? I know how tall he is. I know how much he weighs. I know a lot of his stats. I know how many times he's been to the final. I know how many times he's been swept in the finals. That's neither here nor there. But if I see LeBron James on the street, he's not gonna be like, Luke, hold on, Luke, you know what I'm saying? Like, I know him, but I don't know him. And we can treat Jesus in the same way. We can know about Jesus. We can even be in an atmosphere where Jesus is, but we cannot know him for ourselves. One of my favorite talk show bits of all time, it was this guy where he went to Coachella. Coachella, bro. And he would go up to these random people at the music festival and he would ask them, hey, what do you think about this band? But the thing was, he was asking them about bands that were not real, did not exist, 0% of the time. And he would go up to somebody and be like, hey, what do you think about the Easter Bunny Boys? And every time, people would be like, oh, one of the best. One of the greatest bands of all time. And he would like go further and be like, well, what do you like about them? He's like, dude, their energy. You know, like words that don't make sense. Their vibes, dude. They put out good vibes. Like, hey, what do you think about the new band Chocolate Sauce playing on stage 7? Oh, best. I got all of their albums. He's like, no, you don't. They don't exist. They aren't real. And these people were so focused on being in the know that they actually missed the whole point because they didn't know anything. And how often can we find ourselves in a similar spot where we think we know what God wants to do, and we think we know who he is, but it's a surface level. See, God isn't designed to be in a surface level relationship. He doesn't want the pretty side of you, the good side of you, the things you're proud of. We don't serve a God that died for the things that people know about you. We died for a God that loves and cares about the things that people do not know about you. We serve a God that is much more than skin deep, but wants to go into your life in the darkest areas, the dirtiest areas, and wants to bring healing and life. And what can happen if we begin to go down this journey of taking for granted this access that we have and settling for a surface level knowledge of who God is instead of a relationship with who Jesus is we can get caught up in the wrong things. When we don't know that God cares about every single area of our life and the deep parts of us and the parts that we're not proud of, we can begin to go down a works mentality thinking that we're following a system of Jesus, that there's some cosmic merit board in the sky that if I do this, then I'll get that. If I can just get 5 stars on my cosmic merit board, then I'll get to pick which miracle I have. If I perform this way, then I'll see this happen in my life. If I can just do this, then God will show up in a different way. You see, when we don't realize what we have access to, when we don't realize this power in the story of Easter, when we don't realize that it's not based on anything you or I could do, it's not based on anything you or I have done or will do, but this love and this access and this acceptance is based simply on who he is. When we get caught up in the wrong things, we can miss what God wants to do in the now. And when we begin to get caught up in these, we begin to take for granted God's presence. And if we begin to take for granted God's presence, it never stops there because we were created by the Creator. We are the creation. Jesus, God is the Creator. So if we want to live in fullness, if we want to live in all that he has for us, we have to be connected to the Creator. There is no fulfillment outside of connection to the Creator. Something that is created needs that connection. And if we don't have that connection, if we don't have this right, then it trickles down into every single area of our life. And we not only put Jesus in the just that box, but other areas begin to follow suit. It begins to come just that worship. It begins to come just that Sunday service. It just becomes just that team I serve on. It becomes just that community group. Then it can go as far as just that neighbor. Just that forgiveness. Just that inviting people to church thing. You know, it's not that important, right? Like, I know he says, like, the number one commandment is, like, love God and love your neighbor, but, like, and we can get caught. And the thing about the just that effect is it doesn't only affect your relationship with Jesus, it affects others' relationships with Jesus. Could you imagine being in Jesus' hometown and you were sick and you were broken and you were hurting? And the people that should have known the most about Jesus were the same ones that were chasing him out of town. The Pharisees and the Sadducees, which were the ones that had the most knowledge of God, the most knowledge of who he was. And they were the same ones that were saying, oh, that's just the carpenter's son. That's just Mary's boy. That's just that guy. I don't even know where he got this from. Could you imagine being a sick or hurting person like, yo, this is my shot. This guy's in town. I could maybe, you know? Maybe I could see again. Maybe I could not be a leper and I could see my family or not be have to yell dirty everywhere or unclean everywhere I go. This is my one big shot. And he gets chased out by the people who should love him the most. And I'm not saying this to convict you because this is something that has been convicting me as well. But what if that's sometimes a picture of us? That the people that should be connecting people with Jesus are the same ones that are taking for granted the power that has been given to us. The same people that should be the most urgent about telling every single person that Jesus is real, that he's alive, that he has power for them, that he has healing for them. The same people that should have this on our tongue and on our lips at all times are the same ones that are turning people away. Saying, oh yeah, it's just, you go to church? Oh yeah, just that church. Oh, are you a Christian? Oh yeah, I mean, it's complicated. Oh, you love Jesus? And when we begin to box Jesus into that, we don't just hurt ourselves, but we hurt others. And we hold others back from where God wants to take them. And here's where we're gonna land this beautiful, majestic plane. Nobody knows what that means. Thank you, Dave Hummel. I know that laugh anywhere. If we're not careful and we begin to put God in this position, sometimes without us even knowing, we can allow parts of our faith and hope to disappear. Now, it could be through anything. You know, life isn't easy. Can anybody say amen? If you didn't say amen, bless you. Whether it be through circumstance, whether it be through offense, whether it be through hurt or pain, whatever it may be, we can find ourselves lacking in hope and lacking in faith and wondering these things about Jesus, that can he really do that? I know that it says in his word that he was the perfect sacrifice. I know that it says in his word that he holds the keys to everything. I know that it says in his word that he can heal, but why am I still battling with this healing for so long? I've prayed, I've believed, I've done what I feel like I'm supposed to do. Why am I still dealing with this? And we can lose hope. We can lose faith in our situation. And I wonder tonight, what have you put in that category? Maybe it is your healing. Maybe it's your relationships. You've just been hurt so many times. You come from a broken family. Your heart's been broken. People have left you. People have stabbed you in the back that you never thought would, and you've lost your faith for a healthy relationship. Maybe it's your dreams. You got saved and you felt like God put this dream in your heart, and then now you're looking back and you're like, God, that dream is ridiculous. That's never gonna happen. Maybe it's another area of your life. You fill in the blank. You know your life a lot better than I do, but we can find ourselves bringing God down to our level of view. We can begin to think that God sees our life the way that we see our lives, and God views our problems the way we view our problems. And if I've been dealing with it this long, is there really a possibility to move forward? And Ben, you can come on up, but that doesn't sound like the same power that raised Jesus from the grave. That doesn't sound like the same power now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we could ask, think, or imagine. It doesn't sound like the Jesus that went on a miracle world tour right after he left his hometown because he finally found some people with faith. It doesn't sound like the same God that healed the broken, that opened the blind eyes. It doesn't sound like the same God that took the woman at the well who was broken and on her seventh guy and said, I have hope for you. It doesn't sound like the same. Doesn't sound like the same God. And I believe tonight that God wants to put some dreams back in people. I believe that God wants to restore the awe and the wonder in who he is. That maybe you've been doing this church life for a while, or maybe you're even new to it and you didn't realize what we had access to. You became accustomed to it. You began to take it for granted and said, there are areas of your life where you're like, ah, could he really? Could he really heal that area? Could he really take away this depression that I've been dealing with my whole life? Could he really take away the anxiety so I could sleep again? Could he really bring someone into my life that would love me and not hurt me? Could he really heal me? Could he really make me a good parent, a good mom, a good dad that my son or daughter would be proud of? Could God really even do that? Yeah. And I believe that tonight, not because of anything I've said, but because of what we're gonna do in a moment, that God wants to wake up some things that have died in your life. Wake up some dreams that have died. Wake up some faith that has died. Wake up some hope that has died. Because it's time for us to take it back. If Jesus holds the keys, and we have that same power, what does that mean for us? It means that we also have access to those keys. And I believe tonight it's time to take back that faith for your healing. It's time to take back your joy. It's time to take back your dreams. It's time to take that breakthrough. It's time we, as lovers of Jesus, take back the awe and the wonder of the cross. It doesn't matter what you walked in here with tonight. God is not done with you. God has not given up on you. You are not a mistake, a waste of time. God has a plan for you tonight. Maybe God has never spoken to you. I believe in just a moment, God's gonna speak to you. That area of your life that you have given up hope on, I believe that God is going to put a new fire in your spirit and saying, God, I'm gonna believe again. Whatever it may be, I believe that God wants to wake it up. So what I'm gonna ask everyone to do is just stay seated. And the band is gonna play in a moment. And I want you just to let these words sing over you. Maybe in your heart begin to talk to God. Begin to tell him about that area. He already knows. But begin to ask God, God, wake that up in me again. God, give me faith for that. God, give me hope for that. God, remind me of who you are and what you've done for me. God, remind me that you love me. One of my favorite prayers is, God, break my heart again. for what breaks yours. And I believe that God is going to show up in this place and speak directly to you.
Thanks for listening to the Wave Church Podcast. If you made a decision today to follow Jesus, please go to wavechurch.com and click on I Made a Decision so we can help you on your way to know God in a deeper way. And if you want to visit one of our locations, the website can help you locate the campus near you, or you can live stream our services. Have a great day.